know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up and shout, throw my head back and shout. Come on now, don't forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah, 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 yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on, come on.
Say you will.
Say it better.
Say you will.
Come on now. Say that you love me. Say that you need me. Say that you want me. You want
live
me.
From New York City, it's the Gary Knowles Show. And now, your host, Gary Knowles.
I still remember.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, on the road. Today, the latest on health and healing, really cutting-edge material. If a person listened to this program and applied the information, that's the underlying issue, apply it on a daily basis, I believe that within 3 years, we could knock 5 to 10 years off our biological aging, literally reverse it. It's not myth, it's not alchemy, it's reality. And the science shows it. The trouble is, the information that is being created by some outstanding science projects is not being translated into action. Why? I can't answer that. I can only speculate. But we're going to get the best material on the planet to you every day. Also today, another part of our ongoing, original, in-depth investigative reporting series on Wikipedia. And today, we have a citizen journalist, an investigative reporter, a person who is committed in her adult life to social justice issues, Helen Byniski, B-U-Y-N-I-S-K-I. Now, she has done this report entitled Wikipedia, the Modern Delphic Oracle. And it's extremely well done. And I'm going to report on it for you. And she spent quite a long time reviewing documents that my office, my attorneys, provided her. And I'm but one of the many examples. While this is being done, we, meaning the scholars in my office and our team of attorneys, have been flooded with people wanting to share their story about Wikipedia. So I will have a news story to present next Monday, the following Monday, and the next 20 Mondays. So if they thought we were going to go away after the first 12, no. No, there's still a lot more to tell you about why you shouldn't be funding or trusting Wikipedia. So that will continue today, and I just want to mention, any other citizen journalists in this audience who can do quality research on Wikipedia, you can submit it to us going to prnstudio@gmail.com, and we will review it, and we will fact-check it. We will legally vet it. And if I find that it's accurate, we will present it, post it, and disseminate it. And by the way, there are lots of people throughout the world who are taking the articles and sharing them with their own subscriber base or their listeners. You can expect an article on Abby Martin, how she's been vilified falsely on Wikipedia, Deepak Chopra, Rupert Sheldrake, George Galloway, and at least another 10 people. And then we'll see if there's any capacity by our government or any of the governmental agencies to do an in-depth, independent investigation. Needless to say, in my world, I'm going to be holding the most important relevant facts for a congressional investigation or an inspector general investigation that I'm hopeful will occur. So after today's show, please share this article everywhere. Share this broadcast everywhere. That's the only way that these monolithic organizations like Google and Facebook and YouTube and Wikipedia can be challenged for their lack of objectivity in the areas where they lack objectivity. So then we're also going to have a couple of the audio segments, including something you may never have heard before, a historical lesson on the racist history of our illegal immigration program, and also why student debt is out of control. I think you'll find this of interest. In all of these areas, please feel free, after we do them, to contact us and share your comments and points of view. I'll have opening of the phones in a few moments. But we always start with the latest on health and healing. This comes from the Institute of Salud Carlos, a major scientific institution in Spain. This was published in the Journal of Urology. And it's very simple. It's about eating a Mediterranean diet. And that will decrease the likelihood of aggressive prostate cancer for men. And in their findings, the research team found that the diet, which has a high intake of potatoes, whole fruits, vegetables, legumes, and olive oil, and nuts and fish, coupled with a getting rid of the high sugar and meat, can turn off the inflammation in your prostate. Now, you would already know that if you listen to this program. My hope is that if we keep adding in more science to support what most people have heard, they'll realize this is good science. So once again, with a multi-case controlled study on common tumors, it showed that a Mediterranean plant-based diet, with the exception of fish, can make an enormous difference. From the University of Plymouth, which is in the United Kingdom, weight loss can be boosted 500% thanks to a novel mental imagery technique. Now, overweight people who used a new motivational intervention called functional imagery training, or FIT, FIT, lost an average of 500% more weight than those using talking therapy alone. And it shows the new research published today in the University of Plymouth by that, and also Queensland University. In addition to using the FIT that lost 4.3 centimeters more around their waist, remember, your pot belly fat, that's your most dangerous fat. Men in particular, we used to call them beer bellies, but that is not fat you want to see. Your whole life you want to be able to look down and see your knees. If you can't, you're not healthy. It's that simple. And so in 6 months, they were able to reduce this substantially. This was led by Dr. Linda Solberg of the School of Psychology, and they took 141 people who were all overweight, and they were either given a FIT program or a motivational interview. And that's a technique that sees a counselor and you simply sit and talk with someone. This other is not. And the FIT goes one step beyond talking with someone, as it makes use of multisensory imagery to explore these changes by teaching the person who's overweight how to elicit and practice motivational imagery themselves. Everyday behaviors and optional app support are used to cue imagery practice until it becomes a cognitive habit. And the maximum contact time was 4 hours of individual consultation. This is over a period of time, and no one got any dietary advice. This was strictly the mind. So here's what it comes down to. One group, you talk with a counselor. All right, tell me your problems, your eating problems, your addictive problems, addicted to sugar, whatever. But the other one, you have to focus. You focus upon, when you start to feel hungry, you focus upon some imagery, and that's where the imagery is what you create. And you could do deep breathing and create imagery. Let me give an example of this. In our natural living and running walking club, one time we had over 500 people all training together. It looked like we were doing a race when we were just training around the park. And we would come to a hill. You come to two big hills running around Central Park, which is 6 miles. One is at the north end of Central Park, butting Harlem, and it's called Heartbreak Hill. The other is from 72nd Street to 90th Street, and that's called Cat Hill, because there's a statue of a bronze cat there. Both are really tough hills. So here was the imagery. Look down ahead of you so you could see, you know, You could see who was in front of you, but you weren't looking up. You closed your right eye, just left your left eye open, and focused upon running downhill when you're actually running uphill. And when you got to the top of Cat Hill or Heartbreak Hill, you opened both eyes, relaxed your shoulders, breathed deeply, and then you, every time you came to a steep hill, that's what you did. In time, every one of the runners, every single one, said how much easier it was to hit those hills. So I tried something. And this was in the same summer that we were doing this. I had a group of engineers who wanted to have a retreat. It was a Course in Miracles. And the head of that Course in Miracles asked me, I had a Fertler farm up in Rosendale, Buck Road, up about 20 minutes from New Paltz. Could they use it? Because I could accommodate about 50 people, and they had 40 people. I was going to be up there. I went up every weekend, tended the garden, rescued animals. Sure. So I'd never been to any of these classes. I'd heard of them, the Course in Miracles. So they came up, and it was a group of engineers. So I thought I could have some fun. So I was listening to all their conversations, very technical conversations on Friday night. And Saturday morning, I said, would you all like to do a little 3-mile, jog around the mountains here? Oh, yeah, that'd be fun. So I said, let's do it this way. Let's divide it in two groups. Okay. I said, let's just make sure your pulse and your heart rhythm is okay. So take your pulse for 60 seconds. They did. Remember it. Most were around 70, 75. So then we went out, and it's a beautiful country road. Thousands of you were up there, and we got to the end. But just before, 20 feet before the end of the road, which was a mile for the first part of it, I said, now I'd like you to do something. I'd like just a little experiment. I want you to look down at the ground, close your right eye, and let's go up this hill. I didn't say let's go up the hill. I said, let's make this turn. So we made the turn. And I'm with them, and they're all going up the hill, and we get to the top of the hill, and I said, that was easy, wasn't it? Yeah, take your pulse. So they took their pulse, and their pulse was actually lower than when they started. Okay, so I said, now turn around and look behind you. And suddenly it was, wow, how'd that happen? I said, well, now here's a challenge for you. You're a linear thinker, a reductionist thinker. How can, with greater exertion, your pulse and your whole body chemistry go in reverse? But you did it. You all did it. 20 of you did it. So I said, let's go back. So we finished the rest of the course, and I said, don't tell anyone. I did the same identical thing when we got back, except this time when we got at the end of the first mile, and I said, now, we're about to go on this killer hill. I mean, this is brutal. You can't imagine how hard it is to get it up. If you can't make it to the top, that's all right. Just turn around and go back down. So they all went up. Two of them had to walk. They couldn't run. When they finally got to the top, three guys had to sit. And I said, take your pulse right now. Oh, pulses were 120, 140, 160. And so we got back around. And I said, tell them what your pulses were. And they said, 125 up to 160. And I said, now what were your pulses? 65, 70. And they said, that's not possible. I said, well, now we have this unique situation. You all experienced the same identical course, but you didn't have the same identical experience. One of you had the experience your mind told you should have based upon the challenges that you had. The other had the experience based upon not realizing that you had a challenge. So I left that later that afternoon. I had to get back to the city, and I was told by the person that they didn't spend a whole lot of time on their Course in Miracles. They just kept arguing this issue the whole week, and I was appalled. It's not possible, but we did it. And that's one of the things we must understand. And that's one of the things is fit. Study shows that if you put your mind into an impossible situation, you are a victim. And God, do we have a nation of victims. or we are, it can't be done, well, then we're not going to even try. Or I don't have the skills, I don't have the talent, I don't have the resources, I don't have the support system. There's always I don't have. And the moment someone in your life says, I don't have, understand you could finish the sentence, therefore don't blame me when I don't succeed. Have no expectation of me, because this is not an easy situation. When people say, oh, this is going to be tough, they've already locked in the genetic message, and they've locked in the genetic limitation to that message. Whereas love expands, fear, insecurity constricts. So are we living our lives constricted or expanded, open or closed? It's real. And in the healing, you can't heal constricted. So they were able to lose weight because they developed mental disciplines like, if I'm hungry, breathe deeply for 2 minutes, and my hunger will go away. And it does. If I'm hungry, have a glass of cold lemon water, and it kills my appetite. So that mindfulness made all the difference. 500% increase in the, or fivefold, in what a person was able to achieve in losing weight. We have a lot of overweight people that will help. And also from the University College of Science in India, the spice that prevents fluoride from destroying your brain. Now, we know that fluoride is found everywhere today, from antibiotics to drinking water. And so toothpaste, it's almost inevitable for most people. All the more reason why research proving this common spice can prevent fluoride damage is so promising. Now, I have an article, it's updated, on fluoride. Please download it. Share it with everyone. And if you're a school teacher, it is completely scientific referenced. You can take this into a court of law and present this as factual, and it'll be supported. If you're a parent and don't want the school's water to be fluoridated, you have a case you can make. Why? Because fluoride's neurotoxicity has been the subject of academic study for decades, and now a matter of increasingly impassioned controversy among the general public. And they try to make it seem like it was a conspiracy theory, and it's not true. It is now well known, published in the peer-reviewed scientific literature, that fluoride lowers your IQ, calcifies the pineal gland, and it's dangerous. So what is the one single spice that can change it? Curcumin. A compelling article published in the Pharmacognosy magazine entitled Curcumin Attenuates Neurotoxicity Induced by Fluoride and In Vivo Evidence adds new experimental support to the issue that fluoride is indeed a brain-damaging substance, but also a natural spice, curcumin, derived from turmeric, can protect against various health effects of the fluoride. So I think that's very important. And you don't need a lot of curcumin, you know, like 100 milligrams a day. Also from Mansoura University in Egypt, a compound found in black cumin, remember I said the most powerful anti-inflammatory is black cumin, especially for cancer? This shows it's positive against cancer, has anti-cancer properties. The study conducted by researchers from Mansoura University revealed that the black cumin can lower the risk of cancer and inhibit tumor progression. This study was published in the peer review of the Australian Journal of Basic and Applied Sciences, and it evaluated the preventative and therapeutic anti-cancer properties of black cumin. And the black cumin, by the way, it's from the Nigella, N-I-G-E-L-L-A, sativa, S-A-T-I-V-A, seeds. And they're known to be anti-neoplastic, anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral. So that's the latest on health and healing. We're 20 minutes into our program. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment. Please stay with us. I'd like to welcome you from all over the world and all the stations carrying us. Thank you very much. And for the people taking your time to listen, what I can promise you is that every single day you will hear information that empowers you, information you will not hear on any other radio or television program. We also do more original, in-depth investigative reporting than any other radio program in American history. Hundreds upon hundreds. I've personally done over 700. 300 landmark studies, the first to expose the politics of cancer, the politics of AIDS, the politics of heart disease, the politics of mental health. And work has appeared, won two Emmys on 2020, was a featured on 60 Minutes, and 58 major national cover stories. And so I don't use magazines anymore. As of 2000, I decided to do no more interviews, and I haven't. And I don't, you know, I'd done, oh my goodness, hundreds of articles in major magazines. I choose to use the internet now. I can do it faster. Everything is vetted the way it historically was, but I can reach more people. That's the point of the exercise. And I want to mention that now, after years of not fighting with a lot of the people that have attacked me, because I felt that I did not want to be distracted from the body of work I was working on. And go back the last 10 years and look at that body of work. You know, 14 major multi-award-winning films. In fact, more awards won for these documentaries than any other documentarian in the world. Working on three right now. One's already done. I'm just waiting till I come back to the city to premiere it. Writing articles, writing major books. These books don't get written. 700-page book on the environment, saving the world, doesn't get written. It's done, by the way. It's at the printer. You'll hear about it shortly, unless you give it undivided time. Counseling people every day, sometimes 10 to 15, no matter where I'm at in the world, who are terminally ill, by phone, helping them to the best I can cope with life-ending diseases and, wherever possible, reversing them or improving their condition. So that's all positive energy. When you have to stop and turn around and challenge those who have made it a career out of attacking you, then you take away that energy. But it finally got to the point where it wasn't just me that was being attacked, because my core audience knows the politics of all this. But what about the hundreds of millions of people whose lives could be impacted positively by the information or the alternative protocols, but they won't even pay attention because, oh, you're one of those quacks up there on Wikipedia? So then there was an effort to correct the information that was misinformation on Wikipedia. Playing by their rules, every effort was made, and not a single thing was changed, to the point where they actually did what is called freezing, where you are in perpetuity, you're condemned to a gulag, where you can be thrashed and beaten and spat upon. That's Jimmy Wells. So, Big Jimmy, we're coming at you now. And all the other people, the skeptics, and we're going to show what Wikipedia really is. And if you doubt that of my sincerity, then you do not know me. Unlike others, I'm not a coward. I can't be bullied. And when someone does such an injustice to people who I have enormous respect for, and they're put into your little hell holes, and it's systemic, I give you my word that I will not stop exposing what I consider the blatant hypocrisy of Wikipedia and everyone affiliated with supporting that until it becomes a major public issue, until governmental agencies are involved, until the IRS is involved, until, as you will see, and I'm not about to show you everything that we have waiting, but I don't make a statement if I cannot back it up. Anyone who's known me in my 52 years in my career knows my determination. So now we do not have what I've written or investigated. I've done mine, and I will be doing a whole lot more. And by the way, for those of you in this audience who thinks that you've told something to someone at different times in life, can that come back on you? Yeah, it can. You have no idea how many people we've been speaking with who know a whole lot about Wikipedia and are going on the record to tell us. But today, we are going to hear from citizen journalist Helen Beinitsky. It is called Wikipedia, the Modern Delphic Oracle. It will be posted today on PRN.fm. Please disseminate it everywhere. Can we trust Wikipedia as an unbiased source of truth? Can we at least offer it the same trust we place in our own news media? The country is experiencing a crisis of confidence. Establishment credibility is collapsing all around us. We know that the New York Times boasts more Pulitzer-winning journalists writing in its pages than any other paper, as well as robust editorial review boards. Yet even this paper, written by experts, has become a source of politically motivated misinformation, and trust in the news media is at an all-time low. Trust in government has similarly cratered. We fumble blindly for a trustworthy source, and where expertise has failed us, we reach now for the vox populi. Surely everyone else can't be wrong. A 2014 YouGov poll showed that United Kingdom residents trust Wikipedia more than the news media. While no such poll was conducted in the United States, we can safely extrapolate the popular climate of media mistrust across the Atlantic. According to Reuters, 61% of Americans think news media is doing a good job covering the most important news events, but only 56% think they report the news accurately, and 58% think they cover the government well. Only 47% think they report all sides fairly. And among supporters of the government, only 21% think the news media is fair. A Gallup poll paints an even bleaker picture. Only 32% say that they have a great deal or fair amount of trust in the media, and only 14% of the Republicans say so. Meanwhile, only 33% of Americans trust their government to do what is right. According to Edelman, which rates media slightly higher at 42%, expertise is no longer valued because the experts have failed us. The so-called smartest guys in the room gave us Enron. The expert journalists brought us lurid tales of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and financial savants gave us the crash of 2008, and savvy pollsters and democratic careerists brought us an election contest between the most unpopular candidates in American history, the two. Officially, there is no barrier to enter to editing Wikipedia, and this paradoxically contributes to its perceived trustworthiness. If one is willing to suspend disbelief and cling to a fleeting idea of the essential goodness of humanity, if one has never before visited an online forum and seen the race to the bottom accelerated by trolls and sociopaths and other misanthropes, perhaps one can believe that an encyclopedia can edit. We'll trend towards the truth in a sort of benevolent consensus reality. But what could be the truth? We read a peer-reviewed medical journal written by people with no background in science, no background in medicine, none. Wikipedia is just such a journal. There is no guarantee an editor writing about a living person or a concept under development has any knowledge whatsoever of the subject. Worse, there's no guarantee they are not concealing some bias or looking to grind their own personal axe through editorial control of an article or an entire section of an encyclopedia. In what publication would we allow the inmates to run the asylum? The reality is that Wikipedia is not a grassroots collaborative crafted through the shared effort of people like us. Its rules are applied selectively and secretively. It is common to find articles on living persons written up as smear jobs, replete in some cases with outright libel, but more often disguised as neutral assessments in which undue weight is given to negative assessments and mischaracterizations of a person's work while their defining achievements are minimalized or left out completely. Victims of these hit pieces have no opportunity to address the attacks on their reputation by anonymous editors whose qualifications are frequently non-existent. Despite Wikipedia's stated protections against character assassination, drawn up in the aftermath of a scandal which saw a journalist smeared as an accessory to the Kennedy assassination, the rules are selectively enforced and there is a clear bias towards individuals whose work supports the status quo, whatever their field. Wikipedia's founder, Jimmy Wales, has not been shy about espousing his philosophy politically. He is a devotee of Ayn Rand, though his wife worked in Tony Blair's labor cabinet, and he moves in centrist democratic circles in the United States. He is also an avowed skeptic, meaning he eschews all but the most established scientific orthodoxy is, quote, his words, not mine, lunatic charlatanism, end quote. So everything in that world is lunatic charlatanism, according to Jimmy Wales. Wales thinks homeopathy should be illegal and has expressed hostility towards users of his site who support alternative and holistic medicine. All his biases are on display on Wikipedia. They are the edits left in when others are reverted. Back to Helen. All of Jimmy Wales' biases are on display. And they're there. They're not hidden at all. These amateurs can easily be marshaled to what are called dogpile on a rogue expert who expresses ideas outside the range of accepted theories. Thus, Wikipedia is led by petty dictators, each leading ideologically motivated armies to guard their fiefdoms, be they medical, political, or religious in nature. Politically, it's truly the worst of both worlds, and the reputations of living people are suffering because of it. John Pilger, as an aside, will be doing an in-depth, Richard Gale and I are doing an in-depth investigative report on Pilger. We're interviewing him. We're looking at all the efforts he made to correct inaccuracies and how he was not allowed to do anything. He's also in the gulag. He's been frozen. And that he's probably the world's greatest living journalist. Now, there are a couple people that I could put right beside him, but he would be my first choice. Now, he's an Australian journalist. Back to her, back to Helen. John Pilger is an Australian journalist and award-winning documentary and filmmaker. His 1979 documentary, Year Zero, filmed after the fall of the Khmer Rouge, inspired viewers to raise substantial donations for the United Kingdom's first relief shipment to Cambodia, purchasing much-needed medicine, food, and clothes. Pilger worked as a war correspondent for the Daily Mirror in Vietnam and Biafra, Bangladesh, Cambodia. He's also made several documentaries about the indigenous Australians and exposed the 1998 legislation that deprived them of their common law rights. His documentary on the Indonesian occupation of East Timor, Death of a Nation, scored record ratings and contributed to the massive international outcry that culminated in Indonesian withdrawal from the province 2000. The audience response to his films has been cited as proof that humanity has not yet succumbed to, quote, compassion fatigue. Yet Wikipedia calls his work, quote, full of falsehoods, end quote. Quoting conservative journalist Oliver Kem, Oliver Kem is not an authority on journalism or international conflicts or documentary filmmaking. Unfortunately, Wikipedia's libels and malice of forethought beginning to have a real-world effect. Pilger has stated that, quote, my written work is no longer welcome, end quote, in mainstream publications. a chilling thought given his stellar track record. His last column was dropped in 2015 from The Guardian, whose board of directors of The Guardian includes Jimmy Wales. Wow, what a coincidence. Rupert Sheldrake is a biologist. As an aside, one of the brightest men in the world, and you're going to hear him this week on Friday on this program. Back to Helen. Rupert Sheldrake is a biologist and author best known for the concept of morphic resonance, which posits that, quote, self-organizing systems inherit a memory from previous similar systems, end quote. Now, organisms and groups develop or change along teleological paths worn by their predecessors, and patterns are imposed on otherwise random and intermediate activity according to the previous and contemporaneous iterations of that system. The theory radically reimagines everything from memory. Memories no longer have to be stored inside the brain in a fixed location. In the notion of a collective unconscious, members of a species have access to the sum total of their knowledge. Now, Sheldrake has written 13 books, 85 scientific peer-reviewed papers. He has a PhD in biochemistry from Cambridge University. Is a fellow of the Royal Society. He discovered the chemosmotic model of polar auxin transport in plants. An auxin is a plant hormone that influences cell differentiation. And his Wikipedia bio focuses almost exclusively on negative responses to his work without giving a proper explanation of that work. But then Sheldrake is a vocal critic of what he calls, quote, dogmatic materialism, endemic to much of the current science, which he likens to religion. His outspokenness on this front has made him the enemy of organized skepticism, and the outcry they orchestrated following his TED Whitechapel talk in January 2013 both spilled into and fed off his Wikipedia page. Guy McPherson is an author and professor emeritus of conservative biology and natural resources at the University of Arizona, where he taught for 20 years. He's the leading authority on abrupt climate change leading to near-term human extinction, having coined the term near-term extinction to designate the possibility of human extinction before 2030. That's not long from now. It's only, 12 years. McPherson became a tenured full professor before the age of 40 and is among the most accomplished faculty members at the university. His works include Walking Away from Empire, Going Dark, and Letters to a Young Academic. McPherson is also one of the most slandered scientists in the climate change field. And Wikipedia has not hesitated to jump on the bandwagon, taking a New York Times quote that describes him as a, quote, apocalyptic ecologist, far enough out of context to imply he's some sort of cult leader with an end-of-days following, then shoehorning him in a quote from Science Blogger and an unreliable source according to the Wikipedia rule, which bars blogs and personal websites from being used as sources for the biological articles of living persons, Michael Tobas, who accuses him of climate denialism, quote, of a different stripe, whatever that means. Even though McPherson's whole thesis is that mainstream climate science is itself denying the reality of humanity's impending extinction. As an aside, again, because I think it's so important, I just completed 3 hours of filming Guy McPherson in our studios in New York for the upcoming environmental film. He is extremely level-headed. He is on point, and he is accurate. And now, he does not stand alone. There are at least 22 other leading climatologists who agree with how far we've gone beyond the tipping points and living in denialism of how much we impact the climate. Back to Helen. Cheryl Atkinson is an author and television journalist who currently hosts the public affairs program Full Measure with Cheryl Atkinson on channels owned by the Sinclair Broadcasting Group. Her book Stonewalled was a New York Times ebook bestseller. Atkinson began her journalism career on a PBS affiliate in Gainesville, Florida, and worked at local stations in West Palm Beach, Columbus, and Tampa before moving to CNN. She moved to CBS in 1993 and spent 21 years there, working as an investigative correspondent on the channel's Washington, D.C. bureau. From 1996 to 2001, she also hosted a medical news program on PBS. Atkinson has won Emmy Awards for her reporting on the American Red Cross, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, and the BATF's Fast and Furious program. Wikipedia drags in the ubiquitous vaccine defender Paul Offit to criticize Atkinson's reporting, quote, damning by association because of a piece she aired on vaccines while neglecting to even mention a second book she wrote, The Smear. Several other awards she received are not even mentioned, while the better part of a page is devoted to making her claims of being hacked for surveillance purposes seem less than credible. Jeremy Corbyn is a UK politician, currently serving as leader of the Labour Party and leader of the opposition. A member of Parliament since 1983, he identifies as a democratic socialist. Corbyn opposes military intervention and austerity cuts to public services and supports renationalizing the UK's public utilities, including its railroad network. He has proposed the Bank of England issue funds for large-scale public spending, such as housing, energy, and transportation projects, calling the policy people's quantitative easing, to contrast it with existing quantitative easing policies that attempt to stimulate the economy by buying commercial bank assets. He has been a strong campaigner for nuclear disarmament and active in the anti-war movement since his youth. Corbyn's public support of the Palestinian cause has led to predictable allegations of anti-Semitism perpetrated by the Israeli lobby, despite his widespread support for British Jews, and such allegations have metastasized to consume a third of his Wikipedia biography. Certainly more space than his usual political views, and spawned several articles on their own. Vandana Shiva is an Indian environmental activist, an eco-feminist, an author who promotes seed freedom and water rights. She has brought global awareness to the destructive effects of GMO farming in her native India, where Monsanto seeds have largely supplanted natural crops and thus must be purchased year after year, leaving farmers so hopelessly in debt that many commit suicide. She exposed genetically modified golden rice as a fraud with negligible health benefits and fought against the patenting of living organisms. Shiva began her activist work in the aftermath of the Union Carbide leak in Bhopal. She was also an early voice warning the public about carcinogenic effects of glyphosate. And Beloit College honored her with its Weisberg Chair in International Studies, calling her, quote, one-woman movement for peace, sustainability, and social justice. Wikipedia opts to focus on criticism of her work, giving half a page to a single article written in response to a New Yorker piece about her. Greg Murray is a former UK ambassador to Uzbekistan, turned whistleblower and human rights activist. While working for the UK Foreign Office, he informed his superiors that the Uzbek regime was torturing thousands of dissidents every year, imploring them to stop, and they were telling him they were using techniques as rape, asphyxiation, pulling out fingernails, and immersion in boiling liquids. And because the regime had just permitted the U.S. military to move into a military base near the Afghan border to facilitate the hunt for Osama bin Laden, a privilege it was paying for with $500 million in annual aid payments, it enjoyed a privileged status with regard to international human rights law. Murray was outraged at the conspiracy of silence perpetrated by his fellow diplomats and spoke out against the regime's abuses at an October 2 human rights conference. He was subsequently drummed out of the Foreign Office with a series of fictional and trumped-up charges. And while much of the worst material in his Wikipedia article has been removed, the editor responsible for was banned from editing topics related to contemporary British politics for 6 months after several of his victims brought his misdeeds to media attention. The article was also missing any reference to Murray's achievements before becoming Uzbek ambassador, including his roles brokering a peace deal in Sierra Leone, supervising Ghana's first democratic election, and negotiating the UN's Convention on the Law of the Sea. The Maine Greg Murray Page was even set up to redirect to the biographical article of an ice hockey player before it was fixed. Meg Patterson developed neuroelectric therapy as a treatment for drug addiction, having discovered its therapeutic effect as a side benefit of the electroacupuncture treatment a colleague used as surgical anesthesia. A tiny electrical current is tuned to various frequencies, stimulating the release of chemicals, including endorphins, and allowing addicts to detoxify without experiencing the most unpleasant of their withdrawal symptoms. Her patients, including Keith Richards, Eric Clapton, and Boy George. Patterson also received the MBE in 1961 for her work establishing and explaining clinics in India, and was the only woman member of the Fellowship of the Royal College of Surgeons at the time. Wikipedia dismisses NET for its, quote, reputational based on celebrity endorsements, as if these are somehow disqualifying. Deepak Chopra is an author and speaker known for bringing Ayurvedic medicine to the mainstream audience. He's board certified in internal medicine and endocrinology and focuses on mind, body, spiritual healing through multiple modalities, aiming to integrate Ayurvedic with quantum mechanics to create quantum healing and linking shifts in consciousness to shifts in biology. Deepak Chopra runs a spa retreat featuring meditation, yoga, massage, and Ayurvedic meals. And because he was one of the first practitioners attacked by Richard Dawkins on his, quote, Enemies of Reason television series, he has been hounded by the skeptics who idolize this atheist Dawkins. They flock to Chopra's Wikipedia page to pay homage, and as a result, it is cluttered with derogatory phrases and quotation marks, linked to blogger and oncologist David Gorski, who appears to take great joy in verbosely mocking alternative medicine practitioners. Susan Sarandon is an Academy Award-winning actress with dozens of film and TV credits to her name, including Thelma and Louise, The Lovely Bones, The Hunger, and Cloud Atlas. Reading her Wikipedia page, however, you would have no idea she was also an impassioned political activist. Sarandon most recently made appearances at multiple rallies for Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign, entire paragraphs detailing her history of activism for third-party candidates like Jill Stein and Ralph Nader against the war in Iraq and other imperialist conflicts for economic injustice with Occupy Wall Street and against mass incarceration have been removed with no substantial explanation given for their deletion. Does Wikipedia think actresses should confine their work to the screen or just shut up and look pretty? It is extremely disheartening to see this. Now, these are just a few examples of the type of reputational attacks found on Wikipedia, some quite subtle, some lying by omission, some giving undue weight to minor incidents in a figure's life or giving space to oppositional voices when no such courtesy is afforded voices who disagree with establishment dogma. They are not limited to politicians, scientists, journalists, or activists. There are as many ways to smear a person on Wikipedia as there are victims of wiki smears. But to confirm that Wikipedia's weaponization as a character assassination tool is more than theoretical, we tried to correct the record. And on tomorrow's program, I will go into that on part two. And again, this has been part one of a two-part series by citizen journalist and social activist Helen Buninsky, B-U-Y-N-S-K-I. This will be posted on PRN.fm today and tonight on the Progressive Commentary Hour, a powerful hour, one of the most powerful and frightening you've ever heard in your life on the environment. Thank you for all for listening. Have a nice day.
to do. You see some